tune in to the Living Well Show.
From Chicago, that's Conguero and band leader Johnny Blass and his Afro Libre orchestra with Picadillo, an Afro-Cuban jazz standard composed by the great Tito Puente in the year 1948. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. So here we are, the day after Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good one. And we're offering a different kind of feast here today. Bring your own dish, even delicious leftovers that you may have that everyone can share. But please, no turkey. Take your seat at the table. Enjoy generous helpings of information, opinions, and ideas, and the company of some really nice people on Free Your Mind Friday on Lead Stories. It's free. But you must make reservations at 888-874-4888. I really beat up that metaphor, didn't I? I mean, I really. I showed it no mercy. I took it all the way. 888-874-4888. Let's get back on track as we finish out the week with whatever you think is important to bring to our attention, and issues that you consider worthy of further discussion and debate. I love Free Your Mind Friday, and from the looks of things, because I'm getting a lot of email, I must apologize, really. I am doing my best to catch up. I like to answer my own emails myself, because I have no staff. This is what I do. I do it because I think it is as personal a response as your notes to me. So I cherish that, and I'd like to respond personally. So I'm catching up. So if you haven't heard from me, just have faith. Soon come, as they say in the Caribbean. Well, looks like people want a recount. And Hillary Clinton's supporters are pushing for a recount in three different states. We'll see how that goes, but she's already conceded, and we'll see what happens. Jill Stein also is seeking a recount in at least one state, although she believes two other states should also be in the mix. But, you know, recounts mean money, and we'll see how it goes as the week develops. All right, 888-874-4888. In the coming week, lots of news developing, and some of it quite stunning, as a matter of fact. We're trying to just confirm some facts, but it is going to be quite a stunning revelation coming this week with regard to the Clinton Foundation. It's really taking shape. The focus on the Clinton Foundation that has now gone global. It is no longer a matter of the United States. It is a lot of foreign governments tooling up to take action against the foundation, and we're checking on some of that. Of course, we'll also catch up on elections in Haiti, and we have some other issues here in the United States to take a look at. So we'll catch up to that. How was your Thanksgiving? I don't make a big deal about it, really. I love to cook, so I don't mind cooking and getting lost after that. But it's good. It's good to be among family and friends and people who wish you well, people who bring positive dimension to your life. So I hope you had a peaceful and meaningful Thanksgiving. And for me, you know, if I just spend a quiet day doing absolutely nothing, it's perfect. And I had such a day yesterday, just doing absolutely nothing, just laying back and relaxing. All righty. Jay from Queens, you will start us off today. How are you? And what's on your mind that you're going to be freeing up today?
Well, I'd like to say I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. That all is well.
Thank you.
And let me take you off of this sound. Maybe you're getting some feedback. Is that so?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, I hope that's better.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that, the good news with the recount is that Jill Stein has raised the funds. And she didn't show the timidity, if that's the perfect word.
Yeah. But, you know, I have questions about it still. I mean, I think it's here's how I think about it. Well, first, let me hear how you think about it.
Well, I'm glad to see the Green Party, in the form of the titular head, Jill Stein, is moving forward and putting her presence. No, you don't know who Jill Stein if you didn't even pay attention in the general election. Here is the person who, for all you people who are concerned about the unfairness in a rigged election, and those who want decorum for the most part, Jill Stein is saying we need to have this count. Now, the problem I have with it and my thinking about it is in view of HAVA, Help America Vote Act, there may not be a paper ballot to count. I know there are some states that still have them, but the idea that the Green Party to raise the money in the first place says that they have a force, that they're taking advantage of wherever the funds are coming from a party that couldn't raise much money and then suffers from infrastructure in terms of fundraising. Here it is. They step forward when the Democrats under the Clintonites, pretty much won't even contest it. This is something that the people are clamoring for, and the Joe looks very good and good for the Green Party to do this, whether in the end, it amounts to much, but I still think it's an important effort to undertake. And I'm looking forward to seeing the outcome. I would say that I also have my own theory about the rigging of the election process, that, in fact, Clinton, during the primaries, which was evidence from what happened here in New York, they, as Democrats do locally, they remove voters, legitimate voters, from the voters' roll. And in this instance, Clinton just didn't put them back. That's my opinion on it, and something I've looked into a bit. I can cite some references to it, so I'm not just making remarks. But that is the case here in New York, where 3,000 votes went. And also, there was a report on PRN from someone who was given a talk show who referenced that. I think it's the fact that the voters' rolls were not restored. And that was done by the Democrats and subsequently followed by the Republicans, as what they routinely suppressed the vote. So I'm glad to say and glad to hear that Jill Stein has not only stepped forward, but has raised the funds with the Green Party to contest or at least examine these votes. That's my thought. Yours, please.
Well, I think it's a, I think the money should have been put to other use, personally. It sounds like what the argument is here is, as she says, the argument is to assure the integrity of elections. And that sounds good. But I'm looking at where the party is and what the party needs to do. The party needs, it demonstrated the capacity to raise funds. I mean, they raised $4 million already. The ultimate goal, because they hope to contest elections in Michigan as well, that would require another $3 million. That's $7 million to question the outcome of the votes in these so-called swing states. Now, on the one hand, it sounds like a very noble effort, but to me, that $7 million you could have directed to building your party. The Clinton supporters are also going after the same states, questioning the votes, and even they admit that, in a sense, it's a symbolic gesture because Clinton has already conceded. And, I mean, the fight, in any event, was principally between Trump and Clinton. Trump is not contesting the election. Clinton is. I mean, Clinton's people are. Clinton has already conceded, as I said. She's not contesting. But clearly, she's not objecting to her supporters calling for a recount, because she's already found to be, 2 million votes ahead in the popular vote. But she already has conceded based on the Electoral College votes. And those are the rules they agreed upon. Now, where the Green Party is concerned, my question is, what does it benefit the party? How does it benefit the party to spend money at this stage when the election is concluded and you got 1% of the vote? It is hardly likely that with a recount, you will get an additional 3 or 4 or 5% to qualify for the matching funds. I doubt it. So what is the point, other than making a symbolic gesture, if you have the capacity, and this has been my point all along, if you have the ability to do this, to raise money, this is what you should have been doing for 4 years, so that you have a war chest. You need a war chest. It is going to be a symbolic victory, really, if in the recount they find, okay, you have 10,000 more votes or even 100,000 more votes. The point is, your job right now is to direct all of your resources. Don't fritter away your money. If you can raise money at this rate to really take on a fight 4 years from now and use that money to build toward organization, community organization, and getting your party squared away. Let Clinton supporters foot the bill. Let them go and challenge the outcome of the elections in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, and in Wisconsin, and in Michigan. They're not acting like they understand what the priorities are. Yeah. It doesn't, to me, even if you get a couple thousand more votes, it still leaves you're dead last in the running. You're dead last.
Yeah. Therese?
Yeah.
If I may respond? I don't think she's contesting it for her own interest or the interest of the Green Party counting more votes. It's quite sickening to hear, and given the rules, okay, that we have, if you get the popular vote but you don't win the numbers in the overall vote count that represent the state, you lose according to the whatever. The point I think is important. She, unlike the two egomaniacs, Clinton and Trump, is saying the people, her money is most likely coming from the disaffected voters, the ones who probably voted in the Democrat, voted for Democrats, or voted for Clinton, and those who didn't vote, and people giving money and say, we need to look at this. Put the Democrat, put the duopoly in the headlights. And expose them that, oh, you're going to concede this because it was all about you, Clinton. It wasn't about the people's will. And the fact is, according to studies that have shown, according to this university study they've looked into, they questioned the numbers in terms of the amount, the percentage of which Trump won. But most importantly, I don't think Jill is a good person from all my distance, from where I'm standing. What their desire is to say, let's expose this. It's not about her winning. It's not even about counting her numbers. Like, let's examine this for what it is. And if we find that these people have, and Clinton refused to step forward, forget the quorum. Let the proper popular will, but also desire to expose the corruption in the electoral process, be exposed. And if Clinton doesn't step forward, because I really don't want her either, but the fact is that's the end of it, but expose the system for its flaws. And the fact that we may have, as clearly a case where vote rigging is going across the board on both parties. And when the Democrats, like in 2000, lost with Al Gore and Bush, the same thing is happening again. And Clinton just going to so-called wounds because, listen, there's not a big difference between the two of them, Trump and Clinton. They're basically, it's all about them.
We know that. I'm just saying, look, if I had to make a choice right now, if I had to make a choice as a party leader as to where to put money that people are so generous to share with the party and with the idea that there should be a recount and so forth, I would really prefer, really, because the math is telling the story. You know, it's not the sentiment. It's the math.
But I think that money is designated money, and I don't think she would be able to raise or the Green Party.
Oh, no. It is designated money. You're absolutely right. So you can't just say, well, okay, thanks for the money. Yeah. I'll take it and do it this instead. I'm saying that it proves the point I've been making all along. This party had the capacity to raise its own money. It just didn't do the job.
In the view of the lesser two evils and people feeling the fear plus the media drive, it's the reason why people, Americans, basically line up and fall in line with the duopoly part of the system. So it's not that this party, you beat this party up a little bit too much. And I just say that
I'm frustrated because I know a lot of things that should have been apparent. Ahead of the election, way ahead of the election.
Yeah, but we are who we are.
They just let it fly.
They
lost ground.
We pick ourselves up just to figure out what's the next move. We can't sit and beat ourselves up. Excuse me. We pick ourselves up and we figure, what do we do strategically? What's next? And with all the flaws and the assessments and the care and the concerns and people feeling a sense of set upon, it is real. But there are those who see beyond that. That is what I hope we can see.
I still will not let them off easy because they present themselves as a vehicle, and I mean this seriously. I take these kinds of things very seriously.
Yeah.
If you don't present yourself at all until you're ready. I mean, you're ready.
Well, unfortunately, in this kind of system, ready is like, you know, you do what you can until you can do better. That's all I'm saying.
Like, I don't buy that. I don't buy that because you can see that there are people who will come to you. There are people who will help. If you understand that you are in a political realm and there's a reason they call it political science. It's like, you know, some guy named Fred.
I don't think she's an interloper. I don't think the Green Party is
putting himself in a ring with Muhammad Ali at his peak, thinking he's going to go somewhere. No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, given their limited resources, I think they put up a reasonably good fight. And the fight continues. And the thing is, they're not wimpy. I think the platform the Greens had was strong. Did they have the organization? Well, they seem to have done pretty well, given the limitations of where I think the psychosis and psychology of Americans, the vast majority of Americans are. We have a situation. We got to wake up ourselves. People were readily willing to force it, be they have or have not. You know, listen, I'm doing all right, so I forget that. And then those who are not doing well don't have time to even think about it. So given where the Greens and what they've accomplished, I think they've done well and will continue to do well because this thing can't continue on this track.
No, it can't continue. And what I mean by it is the idea that we can't do better or we're doing the best we can, that is not enough. It certainly is not enough. And they've got to tighten this thing up.
That's why I encourage everyone, including myself, to join Green and volunteer and do the work. And if you can give money, give money. But, you know, it's your fight is that fight. You see a better fight, then jump on that.
Yeah, they've got to tighten it up. There are too many indications here that what they need to do is to go someplace really quiet and dedicate themselves strictly to analyzing what options they have, whether they should even participate in another presidential race, and instead direct their attention to local and state races or something. But they cannot. I would not like to see them continue with this kind of pie-in-the-sky business of, well, we're giving it the best shot we can. No, no, no.
You're unfair.
You're smart people. You better get into the science of political science and don't get in a fight unless you're ready. And there's nothing wrong with holding off and going to plan B. But as we saw, there was no plan B.
There's well, no neither plan B. The other party have a plan B. Okay,
they have all kinds of plans.
Well, the Democrats
have about
don't
a whole
one.
Range of plans. Could change it up within an hour. But we really need, and I'm saying this not again, I don't want to be misread as beating up on the Green Party, but I'm saying that they, in my view, they have squandered a moment. And they
not
have
over.
To look at it internally as a major, major warning to just reassess their situation and come up with a plan that would get them out of a history, a litany of losses, because they every time they lose, they build up this resistance to supporting them by the people. People want to support them, but they have to get it together. They got to get it together. That's
thank you.
I appreciate your view too, and I think you're right. But here's the thing. Small doesn't mean that you don't do what you have to do. If you know that there are five things that are absolutely necessary to make a cake, if you only have three, why proceed making a cake?
Because you garner strength and
you have to make a decision.
Being present is all sometimes just as important. And for what if it's incremental growth or incremental, yes, there'll be those who are disaffected or dismayed by what results you yield. But I say anyone who's standing there saying it didn't happen, what did you do differently? That's all. Look within.
Well,
and then if it's not working for you, then participate.
Well, I get your point, but I also believe that we have to grow up. We have to grow up politically, individually, and any vehicle that purports to represent our interests. We can't allow these things to continue going. You see only 5 years of the Green Party contesting presidential races. I see 20 years because every presidential race is 4 years. That's 20 years.
Well, you're
and
we're barely
scraping past 1% of the vote. Something is wrong. We got to figure out what it is, correct it if we can, or change lanes if we have to until we're ready.
I'm going to have to nominate you for the Green President.
I thought you liked me.
We got to bring a mature perspective to this matter.
you know, Those might be prophetic words. I got to watch you. Thanks for calling and getting us started today, Jay.
All right.
Great
God
talking
bless.
With you always. Thank you so much. Yeah, continue, continue.
Oh, okay. I'd like to skip politics and just say holiday greetings to you and to the listeners of Lead Stories, and say that I've been deconstructing the myths around Thanksgiving. So as a part of that, I went to the Day of Mourning yesterday up in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and there's the Solidarity Center here in New York has taken a bus up for the past 30 years, and some years they only have maybe a dozen people, and the bus is half empty. But this year, we had a sold-out bus from New York and from Brooklyn, so a lot of people attended. I think the estimate was 800 to 1,000, so it was a different experience, and I'm glad that I went. So I just thought that I would mention that so that if others might consider going next year. But the emphasis, of course, was in solidarity with the Standing Rock brothers and sisters out there. And they have very cold circumstances compared to us here and that they're going through. So I just thought I would mention that.
Well, thank you so much for extending your greetings to everyone. I really appreciate that. That was very nice and kind of you. Thank you.
All right.
How did you decide to do this instead of something else? Oh, we lost Julie. Okay. Cece from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Yes. Yatrice?
Yes, indeed, Cece.
I, again, appreciate you. I want to tell you again that you are so appreciated, so liked, and so loved.
Thank you.
And,
same here. I have such a great, great affinity with this audience.
Yes.
People are such wonderful people.
Indeed, indeed. And I want to say greetings to the you, of course, are the agent of change, and we are the change agents. So greetings to the change agents of the Lead Stories and the PRN audience. I
oh,
must
thank
say
you.
That you're welcome. I must say that Jay and I have quite a few things of similar interest and thought. And one, of course, I went green. And Yatrice, I'm going to ask you if you know. I don't know if you know off the top of your head. What color do we add to brown to get green? You know,
brown to get green. That would probably
yeah.
be. What? Blue?
Blue?
No, yellow
okay,
and so, blue make green.
Okay,
what
yellow,
color,
but what makes,
but
what do you add to
what
brown?
Makes green, I don't what, know.
Okay, I'll have to find out because whatever it is, we're going to send that to you because you're brown and we want to add that color so that you can shift slightly to green. And I think that Jay and I know that you're green, but you just don't know it yet.
Oh, I'm
and
green.
Yeah,
believe
okay.
me.
Right.
Now
okay.
This is here's a revelation.
Okay.
I lean more green than anything else. I certainly am not
Great.
Republican. I certainly am not Democratic.
Well,
of
you.
The parties available, the Green Party makes most sense to me, but I am distressed about it. And I would like to see it really rev itself up. And I think it's making some strategic mistakes.
Well,
but
that may
we
be true.
We need the party. This is my frustration. We need these parties, these independent parties, whether libertarian, green, or whatever, we need them. And this time around, we needed the Green Party to be fully in play, but it wasn't ready.
Well,
and
I would definitely agree. Continue, please.
I think we can't be so sympathetic to a situation that we lose focus on what's important. The party is as strong as its structure. Anything is as strong as the structure on which it's built. And we don't get a sense, when we really look at things in the aggregate, there was a lot of talk and there was a lot of feeling and there was, and all of that is fine. But I'm a practical, pragmatic person. I like to look at things in a different way. I cannot easily accept that we lost track. We lost track here. And in a critical year, the Bernie Sanders betrayal was a huge blow. But then we saw the lack of leadership here between both Bernie, but although I have to give Jill Stein credit, she reached out to Bernie Sanders. He did not respond, or he did not respond favorably. And you can see now how strategic a win that would have been. Of all of the candidates running, they two, Stein and Sanders, came closest together in terms of their ideology, in terms of their party platforms, etc. There should have been a major effort made to come together and combine forces. And there should have been a major discussion publicly as to what happened there. We lost a lot. We lost momentum. We lost clout. We lost votes. We lost a lot. And the party itself seemed to have forgotten, or at least it got distracted and didn't understand. It wasn't running like a party that was in a race, you know. It had the feel of more like an outreach, ongoing outreach. No, this is a fierce battle. And we needed to see that mindset set into the party. So,
well, let me say this, though, if I may. Let me just say, I think something I learned from Armand DeMille maybe 15, 20 years ago, that what I get from Bernie and Jill is a GitNip, NIP, GIT, GIP, good in theory, not in practice. And I definitely, you know, in feeling, the idea was a great one. I think where Bernie is that there's something unique about Bernie, even though he's an independent or he's a so-called socialist. I think the Democratic Party is important to him and his style and who he wants to hang out with, so to speak, or who he wants to have hang with him. And I think he has, you know, he's kind of, I mean, you've mentioned that there's talk of him running. I haven't heard it, but there's talk of him running again. Now, that may be something that the Democratic Party may be putting out to run against Jill. I'm not sure. But, you know, they've got, they're whispering in his ear, or somebody's whispering to him around him, and that's another story. But the Greens, I think, it's active, it's live. It's just not, you know, it's not high voltage yet. It's not whistles and bells and light trucks or skywriting. But it's happening, and it's going to all of a sudden. I mean, it takes a long time for people to consider, well, come out of the shock of what they have found has happened, and then begin. And it takes agents, it takes change agents like ourselves to present to two people, and two people present to two people, and on, and then you have 100, and then you have 1,000. So it can happen, just as Bernie did his unusual breakthrough with millennials and others. The same thing can happen with the Green, even greater, because Bernie kind of set, we know it's believable. We know it can be done. So I think that, you know, Bernie's an important player, in spite of the judgments about him or against him. He's a very important player in many realms and settings. But we really, the party, the Green, is no stronger than we are. It's no stronger than what I, or how much I do, or what I don't do. So it's each one reach one, and we've got to get involved. This is going to, in 36 months, 24 months, this is going to be something. And coming back to why Jill put that money out there or got the promotion going, my son, my second son, said to me about a month ago, Dad, I don't get what's up with Jill. I don't get what you see in Jill. Yesterday, I talked to him yesterday for Thanksgiving, and he said, we talked about the money raise, and he knew that she raised X amount of millions of dollars. And so that right there, the promotion that you get because she's involved in this is the prize. That's the prize. You can get another $70 million. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I'm exasperated with the Green Party. I got to tell you, I'll tell you why. I like action, and I like people who take the time to get themselves prepared for something. I had in mind, for example, to launch a newspaper.
Oh, yeah,
everything
great.
Said it couldn't be done.
Yes.
Except I devoted 2 years.
Yes.
Everybody knew where to find me if they didn't get me at home. I'm in the library. Mm-hmm. I am looking at numbers and working through all kinds of things because the intention was, I know there's a space for us, and I know that, you know, we'll be going up against the main paper, which was more than 150 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We have no money. And yet I knew exactly what we could do to begin to launch this paper and get revved up. And guess what? Within 3 months, I'm not kidding you, within 3 months, we zoomed past their circulation, and we toppled them.
Wow. Awesome.
Because you have to have a plan, and you have to act like this is important. At WBAI, in the middle of all these attacks and whatnot, they're trying to kill us, literally. We had to raise funds to save the station. That was the main objective. Save the station. Because these people were losing their minds. Save the station. We did a fundraiser, and to this day, it has not been, the record has been set. In just about 2 weeks, we raised $1.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
And so my point is, when you're serious about something and you share that vision with people, which is what you need to do as a leader, you tell them what the vision is. And you will know soon enough whether they're with you or they're not. But this way of doing things where, well, you know, they act like you have more than enough time to grow. No, you don't. There are certain things where if you miss that opportunity, you might as well write the whole thing off. This was a phenomenal failure. And for no reason other than the party came across as, you know, a group of people who had some good ideas, and they're giving it their best shot, and they hope that people will see the sense they're making and climb on board. That's the worst possible attitude to have when you're running in an election. And I don't get the sense that anybody has sat down yet and with a very vicious fine-tooth comb, figured out what it has happened here. They blew it.
Well, here's what I will say before going off your trees, and that is, you know, life is cyclical. We've got cycles, and I reference every once in a while numbers, and this is 2016. 2 and 16 are 18. 1 plus 8 is 9. This is the ending. This is the ending. December 31st will be the end. 2017 will be the 19. 1 plus 9 is 10. New beginnings. So this time next year, we'll have something really interesting to look at because it's going to take off. It's going to rocket. You know, we're just kind of dusting ourselves off.
Here's where I'm different.
Okay.
Because I have a sense of urgency about time.
Yes.
And not just personally,
but in the sense of the historical moment. In as much as you're going to be in a race, in as much as you are going to contest a presidential election, you better be ready. And if you're not ready, pass the torch to somebody who looks like he or she might be ready. And get out of the
way.
What about if you're getting ready? The idea is about scoring a victory. And it, at some point, it has to be certain. No more guessing about, well, we'll see what happens. No, at some point, you arrive at a point of political maturity where you say, within reasonable accuracy, we can get X number of votes in X number of states. And if you can't do that, then don't run in a presidential election and then lose so pitifully. You're building a case against yourself. Focus instead on local races. And you tell people, we're going after 3 governorships, 3 Senate seats, and a couple of city council seats, whatever it is. But fix your menu. You cannot possibly think that it is okay to have run all this time to mobilize people and do all that stuff and lift people's hopes, and you can't get past 1% of the vote. Get out of here.
I think you're going to be surprised, Eutrice. I know you're going to be surprised after the first of the year. You'll be seriously surprised at what is about to take place. And we'll just see. Again, I'm going to continue to be the agent and the agent of change and the change agent, and we'll be in touch. I'm appreciating you and all the work that you are doing, all the work you have done. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very
You're
much
welcome.
For calling. From Harlem, Jamahi?
Greetings, my professor. How are you?
All righty. How are you doing?
Well, I'm here listening to wiser heads than I discuss issues. And as always, ancestral blessings be upon you always.
Thank you. And same to you.
Thank you. Now, 2 quick things. As I watched the president of the United States giving a pardon to that jive turkey, and I thought about Mumia Abu-Jamal and many of the other political prisoners that are locked up and locked away in prison, I wondered if he couldn't find it in his heart to do something for them. I hope before he leaves office, he at least try and do something for them, you know, all right? That is my take on that. And the other thing I have, I want to touch on, is on Monday, I believe, Monday evening, I attended a mayoral town hall meeting. Our mayor, Mayor Bill de Blasio, was the honored guest, and it was hosted by a councilman, King, Andy King, from the Bronx. And after the mayor made his delivery, and they took some questions from the audience. And I found that many of the questions that the audience addressed to the mayor were local questions that could have been handled by, are supposed to be handled by their council members and assembly members and stuff like that. But anyway, he referred them to some of his operatives that were there. He had folks from his office that were there, and he referred them to these folks. But the question I asked him was this. I said, Mayor, what percentage of this great budget that the city hands out every year, right? What percentage of it is designated for the so-called minorities, a minority community of the city? And how is it being monitored to see if it is handled and And what is given out is actually given out to the proper people. And so he said, well, it they gave 30% is designated for minorities. And he referred to the speaker, Mr. Heastie, that was sitting in the front. And he said that they are working with the state also to see, to make sure that it is increased and stuff like that. So I said to him, so of that 30%, what are the actual percentage that is actually given out to the minorities, especially those of color, people of African ancestry in the city? What are the real percentage? He said, well, it's about 10%. And I said, 10%? And that is not even 10%, that is for the African-American community. When you consider the undying support, the numbers that they've given to this mayor, as Malcolm always says, that we put the Democrats first, and then when they get in, they put us last. And I wanted to have this I was trying to get this interaction going with him, but his lackeys were not allowing that because they're there to protect him from those type of questions. And so I want to just ask you, in your dealings with the city and these type of they've talked for the longest about what has been allocated for so-called minorities in the city. What are your take on it and in your experience? I would like to get your opinion on the matter.
Well, nobody has really done an ongoing monitoring of the city's budget. Mm-hmm. And it is not allocated by the percentage of the population.
Mm-hmm.
It also has, you need a sophisticated analysis to see what percentage of the budget is allocated based on need in particular areas, because let's say the city of New York is what, 23-24% African American.
Yeah.
If you were to just say, well, because it's 24% African American, they get 24% of the budget. That's not the way it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is inordinate need in a whole bunch of areas: schools, healthcare, safety, food security, all these other kinds of categories in which the need is overwhelming in some among some ethnic groups rather than among others. But for example, if you were to compare the allocation of social support services to the Jewish community as opposed to the Latino community and the African-American community, you would be surprised that the Jewish community gets an extraordinarily high percentage of that budget.
Sure.
All right, so that's where you have to have an analysis based on that. The other part of it is that people just don't do this kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
Once the mayor is elected, and of course he gets very, very, he's very, very grateful to the community for getting him elected and so forth, and everybody's happy, but they all go away after the election.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is in a position to demand anything of Bill de Blasio.
Okay.
Nobody. And so he gets away with whatever it is he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's looked at or asked for forensic audits from the city comptroller's office, which is what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
The city council, which is predominantly people of color now, which mm-hmm. has zero clout.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is where you press the buttons. You can't believe, it's politically naive to believe that anybody elected to office will do the right thing on their own. It is not going to happen that way. But we don't have cudgels to swing. We don't have people who can make and compel them to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they're all tied up in the same business of, covering each other's back. So I don't know how else to discuss this except to say, people have to get organized. the black community in New York City is completely disorganized.
Yes.
And it looks to other people to do the work of organizing them mm-hmm. and protecting their interests. But they will not get organized. And that is the secret.
But you know what I was thinking about? I was also thinking about the contract.
I want to, if you don't mind, I have a bunch of calls.
Okay.
And I wanted to just move on to get a couple of people in before the weekend.
Okay,
but thanks so much for calling, Jose. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Jeremiah, that's who we were trying to figure out.
There you go, yes. The biblical name, Jeremiah.
Hello, Jeremiah.
I'm not
how are you?
Hawaii or someplace. I'm doing great today. How are you, Yatrice?
I'm hanging in. Thank you.
I want to make a few comments. First of all, about the Green Party. I've been saying this for years in regard to the Green Party or any number of other possible third, fourth, fifth parties. Is please be visible in the community, first of all. I'm in Harlem right now. I'm all around New York. I go to all the boroughs of New York. I spend time and live part-time in Jersey City. I've never seen a Green Party representative hardly anywhere. So that's number one, is be visible in the community. Number two, I agree with you. Make a goal of achieving some local seats. The city council, assembly person, senator even would be ambitious. But the notion of running for president, it's absurd. And first of all, if I wanted to vote for somebody I knew could not possibly win, I'd just go ahead and vote for myself. Second of all, if you're telling me that you're going to be a good leader, first thing I want from my leader is for my leaders to be at least somewhat realistic. And when you telling me, you know, by you saying you're running for president, you're not very realistic, first and foremost. You know, it's like me getting up, going for a little jog and saying I'm getting ready for the heavyweight championship. It's delusional.
Or you're going to take on Usain Bolt.
Yeah. Well, that's another story. I'm pretty fast. So Usain might have to look out. But on the subject of the Democrats now, this is my point, and I've raised this on social media, I've raised it in personal conversation, and I find it astonishing how the same Democrats who will take to social media to just speak so passionately and adamantly about Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, etc., they can't answer the simple question, what are the values of the Democratic Party? What are the values? The Democratic Party makes its entire identity out of not being Republican. They say, if you don't elect us, you'll be ruled by those ghouls known as the Republicans. But how come there's no actual party platform? We want to end the prison industrial complex. We want to stop the military industrial complex. Well, no, they perpetuate those things. They perpetuate those things avidly. How about building the American infrastructure? No, we didn't see any real infrastructure being built in the 8 years of Obama or any green jobs because they don't want that. They're neoliberals. They're low-intensity Friedmanites. Rahm Emanuel closed down how many schools in Chicago? And that's my point is I don't think Trump could have won the presidency if the Democrats stood up for anybody anywhere. If the Democrats stood up for the people of Flint, I don't think Trump would be the president. If the Democrats stood up with the people of Wisconsin against Scott Walker, I don't think Trump could have been president. If the Democrats asked their own Rahm Emanuel to step down and respect the will of the people, I think any of those things could have given an indication to the people that, hey, we do have your back at least 1 out of 100 times. But we can't cite one instance where the Democrats honestly stood up for the people. Look at Flint. How come Rick Schneider is not in prison? Not only is he not in prison, he wasn't even forced to step down.
Not at all.
I mean, the Democrats need to start dealing, and I challenge anyone who's a Democrat out there, please, I ask you, make it your goal. I'm not personally a Democrat. I'm to the far left. I vote for Democrats tactically, but I don't identify with the party. But if you do identify with the party, write a letter to Barack Obama and say, please, stop drone bombing people. Those shouldn't be our values as Democrats. They stand up for the people of Flint, Michigan. Let's show our mettle as Democrats.
But the man went to Detroit, which was systematically being emptied, and didn't see it. He went to the auto show instead. He couldn't figure out what was happening. He still hasn't figured out what is happening in Detroit. Unbelievable. Well, I thank you so much for your call. Quite
you,
a
ma'am.
Lot that you gave us to think about in such a short time.
We're looking forward to listening to other callers.
We ought to have like a public, you know, just keep this thing going and talking it out, because that is the other thing that that really frustrates me, that there's a kind of embarrassment about peeling the skin off of this onion and looking at what's underneath it. And we have to be just realistic about what is happening here. And
right.
without any, you know, idea about, oh, we don't want to talk too much stuff about the Green Party, or we don't want to criticize this other party. Look, it is what it is. And we better get into the habit of seeing what it is and calling it as we see it.
I agree. Well, thank you for your time, and I look forward to the rest of the program.
Thank you, which is ending momentarily.
Oh, well,
that brings us
to
the end
program.
Of our program today. We have to keep talking, because it is the best way, through peer-to-peer education is what I call it. We learn from each other. We don't necessarily have to agree, but as you can tell, we are mature enough to handle differences and even understand that the idea is what is important. The ideas are important. And we don't let personal issues get in the way. I love that about this program. And I love that about the listeners, that there's a level of maturity here that allows us to engage with each other in a genuine way. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. You always can learn something new from him. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. Please surround yourself with really positive people who add positive dimension to your life this weekend. And as always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. We'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.